Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Craig F., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, June 12th, 2020, and we're going to be reading from the Big Book. And we are on page 162, the first paragraph that begins every few days. Today's readers are Marge for the Steps, Darlene for the Traditions, Katie G for the Text, Susan H for the Closing, Mary Beth S is the Newcomer Greeter, and Nancy P is the Second Hour Host. The reference number for yesterday, which was Thursday, June 11th, is 14,794 for the 7 a.m. meeting and 14,795 for the 10 a.m. meeting. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive overeating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition, states that each group has but one primary purpose, and that's to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I'm now going to ask Marge to read the 12 steps. Marge?
Thank you, Craig. Thank you for your service. This is Margie from Massachusetts. The 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And thank you for letting me serve. Thank you, Craig.
Thank you for helping. Okay, next we have the 12 traditions, and Darlene is going to read those for us. Darlene?
Good morning, Darlene H., recovered compulsive overeater. Our comment 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today we're going to resume our study of the Big Book on page 162, the first paragraph that begins every few days. We also ask you that, we're going to just go ahead and read the first paragraph. Katie, will you take us and get us started, please?
I will, sure, Craig. Good morning, everyone. This is Katie G., recovered compulsive overeater, anorexic, and bulimic. Every few days, this doctor suggests our approach to one of his patients, understanding our work. He can do this with an eye to selecting those who are willing and able to recover on a spiritual basis. Many of us, former patients, go there to help. Then, in this Eastern city, there are informal meetings, such as we have described to you, where you may now see scores of members. There are the same fast friendships. There is the same helpfulness to one another as you find among our Western friends. There is a good bit of travel between East and West, and we foresee a great increase in this helpful interchange. You know, the word help and helpful is offered 3 times in this paragraph, and I'm so grateful that the doctor transformed from writing an anonymous letter saying that anything we say in this book can be trusted to being a public figure, completely endorsing our program of recovery. But this question, am I willing and able to recover on a spiritual basis? You know, I could give a lot of lip service to that. It was really easy to say, yes, I am so willing. But, you know, as one of our beloved members says, you know, my actions are so loud, I can't hear what you're saying. It can be really easy to pitch on these paragraphs. It can be really easy to show up and say, yes, I'm being honest with this, I'm being honest with that. But at the end of the day, what I realized when I was in relapse is the lying that I was doing around the food sprees and the other sprees, the exercise sprees I was going through, cut one thing off, and that's me and God. So at the end of the day, I wasn't having any connectivity to God. And that is what brings me down, right? And that's what to recover on a spiritual basis. I didn't come into the rooms because I wanted to recover on a spiritual basis. But am I willing to recover on a spiritual basis? Am I willing to show up and be honest and say, you know, help me, tell me what to do. I can't do this food thing. I can't do this exercise thing. I can't do this life thing. Tell me what to do. You know, and I want to say I am so profoundly grateful to be 4.5 years, one day at a time, away from a relapse with exercise bulimia. You know, but am I willing to recover today on a daily basis? Am I willing, you know, to keep program first? I have a lot of people, you know, I was talking with a gal yesterday, and she said, well, I just don't have the time for a sponsor. Somebody else said, are you ever going to leave the room? Are you truly happy? I'm truly happy today, contingent on how willing I am to recover today on a spiritual basis. My program has to come before everything, my relationship with God, my integrity. And, you know, what's so amazing about this line is if you go back 8 years, there are voices that you can hear from 8 years ago, and yet you still hear them today. Why? Because they are willing to recover on a spiritual basis. They are willing to put their relationship with God first. They are willing to keep the food down, right? Just because you get to say you're recovered, I have to tell you, it doesn't mean anything changes. You don't get to pick the food back up. If anything, where much is rewarded, much is expected. And God willing, may I be willing to put the food down. May I be willing to keep the exercise down. May I be willing to practice the willingness to bear discomfort and stay out of the other behaviors and things that we can get into with character defects. So I'm just so grateful to know willingness is action today and to trudge with all of you. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Katie. Okay, and in just a second here, we're going to take names for sharing. We appreciate everybody, and we appreciate your enthusiasm to share. We have a lot of people, and we want to give everybody a chance. So if you've shared in the last couple of days, that is Wednesday or Thursday on the line, then we ask you to allow somebody else to have that chance this morning. So who would like to share on this paragraph we just read? Hold on. That was a knock. Okay. Let's start over. Who would like to share?
Gina.
I think I got a Gina out of that, and that was it.
Tina S.
Oh, Barbara. Tina S. Okay.
Janice P.M.
Barbara.
Carol A.
I got Barbara and Janice B.
Irene B.
Russ M.
Russ.
Carol A.
Carol A.
Yeah.
All right. Who's that last one?
Carolyn H.
So I have a Carol A and a Carolyn H. Right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, that's a pretty good group to start with, so let's go ahead and get started. Tina S., go ahead.
Thanks so much, Craig, for your service. Tina S., recovered compulsive eater, anorexic in Florida. Yeah, what a great paragraph. You know, I love that it talks about, you know, understanding our work. He can do with this with an eye to selecting those who are willing and able to recover on a spiritual basis. Now, you know, the bottom line is the reason I am willing and able to recover on a spiritual basis is because I've tried every other way. I mean, that's, you know, truth be told. You know, if I could have done this without having to do the spiritual deal, I would have liked that much better, you know. But over the years and through the trials and the tribulations and the pain and all that kind of stuff, you know, the last house on the block or the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous and Overeaters Anonymous. And thank you, God, you know, I didn't die first, you know, because some people do. And, you know, by God's grace, I did not. And I had the opportunity to, you know, to recover. Someone within whom the problem had been solved gave freely to me, you know, so therefore I am to give freely to others. And that I initially didn't want to do just because, you know, but over time and today, you know, because I have changed, the psychic change that comes about through the transformation, I am no longer, sorry, those are my dogs, I am no longer that same person. And so therefore, you know, I want to give this thing away. You know, and I love that it talks about, you know, back in the day when the book was written in 39, you know, they had to do all this legwork travel. We are so gifted today. All I do is I get up. I don't even have to get dressed. I mean, I do because I work early. But I make a phone call, and here we are, you know, from all over the world. You know, how cool is that? You know, I turn on my computer. You know, I do 2 or 3 meetings a day at least now that, you know, we've got Zoom stuff going on. And what a gift. You know, and I love that, you know, it talks about, you know, a lot of, you know, talking the talk. You know, I read that this morning, or walking the walk. You know, what are my actions doing today? Am I really being of service to somebody else? And how does that come about? And with that, I'll pass. Love to hear what everybody else has to share. Thanks.
Thank you, Tina. Okay, next up we have Barbara E. Barbara?
I am unmuted. I didn't expect to be heard that quickly. Thank you. You've got super califragic, expialidocious ears. Well, for me, I'm going to say every paragraph seems to be the most important, the most compelling in this book, because every paragraph is for me. Letting go. I had to be willing to get rid of the life I planned so I could have a life that was waiting for me. It was hard to give up my old habits, although my old former solutions to dealing with my compulsive overeating and my gaining and losing hundreds of pounds hadn't helped me any in the past. My former solutions to stress, anger, emotional, physical pain had never worked and only made the problems worse, but they were familiar. I had high hopes the results would be different each time, and I wasn't too surprised when it didn't happen because it was familiar ground. Then I heard in 1996 about this program, and I half-heartedly joined in 1996 because I was truly hopeless. I had given up. I was surrendered. Actually, I was ripe for the program. And then several years later, and it was several years because we were only doing the tools, I began using the 12 steps. It was scary. Things began happening to me that I'd never dreamed possible. I was given abstinence for long term, and I still have been. For 23 years, I couldn't believe it. I hadn't planned for this to happen. How could I when I'd had no idea what long-term abstinence was like? At first, I was very anxious, sure that the abstinence would be snatched from me just as I was beginning to feel comfortable with it. But as I enjoyed the abstinence through the years and stopped focusing on my eating disorder's requirements, I often felt like I was in foreign territory without a map. I couldn't plan my life like I'd always done before because my life was always busy evolving in ways I couldn't imagine. But the longer I worked the program, the happier my life became. To my utter shock, I've recently discovered that me, Barbara, a control freak and ultimate planner of everything, have begun to enjoy the unpredictability that my higher power has so graciously put in my life. Before the program, I never appreciated spontaneity. How could I? Now a day without plans is an opportunity. I will pray to let go of my will and instead be open to my higher power's will for me. Thank you for letting me finish. I pass. Have a beautiful day, everyone.
All right. Thanks, Barbara. Next, we have Janice PM. Good morning, Janice.
Well, good morning to you, Mr. Craig. Yes, this is Janice PM from Massachusetts. And, you know, I am a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, even though I can't find my glasses this morning, and I'm doing the best I can. This is quite a paragraph. What it teaches me and what it taught me is that, those of us that are recovered, we have an eye. If we go to meetings, but on this line, on the conference calls, I have an ear. to hear, you know, because I don't see a lot of you people, but I have an ear with the skill that God gave me, not me, because it doesn't come naturally. It has to come, you know, from a higher power other than me. And we have an ear. It's a skill for those who are really, really ready. Unless, you know, I know after a while, you know, through my experience that, like Bob, I think Doug, Bob said, that you're not really jellied yet. You know, it takes time. Or if you're not ready, I mean, I wasn't ready right away in 1982. Believe me, I thought I was, but I still wanted my own way. So God has given me that opportunity to do what? To help people. That's the only reason why I do this, because I'm grateful. And gratitude is action. So I have to. It's very inconvenient some days to do this program. But you see, I was so selfish. And, you know, it's innate to be selfish. And the steps have taught me through my higher power has given me this miracle to be selfless. And it's inconvenient sometimes to get up early. It's inconvenient to want to share. It's inconvenient to be quiet when I'm supposed to be. But, you know, this is the whole program is built on inconvenience. But, you know, I embrace these 12 steps because, you know, they've really given me a miracle, a way out. And that's what happened with Dr. Silkworth. You know, God uses, and he used Dr. Silkworth, and God used Bill W., and he uses me as a recovered, and he uses you to give this and to be helpful to others. And this was a... these people could see this, the increase that God has given us. Imagine, started with just, you know, how God used Silky and then went on with us. So self-sacrifice to carry this message, okay, through these 12 steps to be have a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, and then we become recovered. And with that, I'm going to pass. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Janet. All right, next we have Irene B. Irene?
Very cool, I'm up. Good morning, thank you so much for your service. I am Irene B., a gratefully recovering bulimic from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. You know, if somebody would have told me that this was a program for somebody who would be willing to do spiritual work, I would have gotten angry. I would have turned around and left because all I wanted was peace of mind. I wanted to stop hating myself. I wanted to stop binging and purging. I wanted to be able to get along with people. I wanted a lot, you know. And I think I wanted to run the show. Actually, I know I wanted to run the show, but I certainly did not want spiritual help, because what does that have to do with anything, right? What does that have to do with the craziness in my mind, with the pain of living, with the pain of rejection? But God is amazing, and here's this program that even though we talk about spiritual things, and that's the entire focus of this thing, you know, I don't know how I can say this, but it doesn't feel like I'm working on something spiritual the whole time. I'm working on something spiritual, even though my strength and the only strength I have and the only power I have comes from God. So to me, that's very paradoxical. And, you know, I just really intellectually rejected, emotionally resented everything that the spiritual life represented, because to me, the spiritual life represented judgment and demands. And I didn't want any of that. It's like, I'm done with being judged, being, you know, all, I'm all about me. I want cure. I want my share, you know, and I don't want to, I want to walk away from demands.
But what I'm learning in this program is that the most beautiful reward that you get is from being of service. And service, the way it is stated in this community, is a beautiful, beautiful, uplifting thing. It's something that gives me the greatest pleasure, the greatest reward, the greatest joy. And that's a miracle that my preconceived notions have changed. From being of service doesn't mean that I'm going to be taken advantage of. It just means that you get to do what is right. And the beautiful thing is, everything I give, God gives me back tenfold. That's the way it's always worked with me. I give to God a little bit, and He gives me back buckets. That's how He is. He's full of grace, love, and mercy. And I think this program that finally, I am able to have, I am able to have a relationship with God, which is what I always wanted. But I couldn't. And this program is teaching me how to do that. And with that, I pass. Thank you for allowing me to share. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Irene. Okay. Next up, we have Russ. Philly man.
Good morning, Craig. Good morning, family. Thanks for taking the meeting. So as we unpack this paragraph here, you know, helpfulness is all over it, right? Help is all over this. And, you know, now that I'm this spiritual guru and, you know, I got everything figured out spiritually, I'd be nowhere if someone didn't take interest in me, someone didn't share the message, right? This is what sticks out to me, that someone took the time to try to help me. And it planted a seed. Even though it took 10 years, it planted a seed. I wouldn't have anything. I would not have anything if it wasn't for that person planting that seed. You know, and, you know, prior to program and trying to develop a spiritual life, you know, I would do for you to do for me and to do for me just to do for me. My selfishness was there. And look, I still battle it today, right? We're working on it. But because of this program, because of this way of life, the way it's mapped out, I can do for someone else to just do for someone else. You know, now it's a change of heart. The spiritual awakening compels me to share this with someone else because, you know, I don't deserve it. Well, maybe, I can't speak for anybody else. You know, the junkie that I am, I don't deserve the life I have now. But because someone shared it with me, someone took interest in me, someone shared the message and was truthful, too. It kicked me in the pants and didn't hold back. I can live a pretty good life right now, even through a pandemic, losing my job, everything. And the bottom line of the whole deal is, someone planted that seed, and now I'm closer with God. And I have, I'm growing closer and being the man that He wants me to be because somebody planted that seed and was helpful. So y'all have a good day. I love you. Have a good day.
Okay, Russ, thank you. Next up we have Carol A. Carol.
Hi, good morning, everyone. This is Cheryl A., recovered compulsive overeater in Brookline, Massachusetts. There's so many instructions in this paragraph that are under the surface of it. Right from the beginning, it says every few days the doctor suggests our approach to one of his patients. It's like that's the reminder for me. Every few days, this is a consistent, constant piece of work that I need to do to recover. Close the door so that my kids' yelling is not heard. Okay. Every day, constant. I don't just do this or take a pill and then I'm done. It's not one and done. It's all the time. Discernment around working with those who are ready for this approach. understanding our work we can do with an eye to selecting those who are willing and able to recover on a spiritual basis. This is a program for those of us who are have made the decision to do the work in there, and it's on a spiritual basis. This will work for those who are ready to do things as they're laid out. So constant work, discernment, it works for those who are ready for it. The aspect, as has Justin mentioned, about being helpful, being of service. At the end of the paragraph when it says there's a bit of travel between east and west, and we foresee a great increase in this helpful interchange. Ah, gosh. How amazing is it to think about what Bill and Bob would be thinking now about the interchange going on in the spirit of being helpful to each other? It's not just East and West. It's global. It's virtual. What we all do now to help each other, there is a good amount of helpful interchange that is saving our lives. What they would be thinking right now to think about how that sentence has expanded. They foresee it. They foresaw it. They couldn't have imagined how that helpful interchange plays out today. The bottom line of this paragraph for me is the constant memory that there are miracles happening on every level. From my own ability to be of service versus working, focusing on my own selfish needs, the amazing interchange that they foresaw but couldn't have imagined how that it played out. It reminds me about the role of believing. I have to believe this program will work and that a spiritual basis will cure me to be able to be ready to do it. I have to believe that the fellowship that's also implied in here is going to be part of that extra power that allows me to remember who I am. And believing is this eternal light that stays on all the time. I have to keep my cane to believe that a power greater than myself through my higher power and what happens through this fellowship, that is an eternal light. It will stay on all the time and guide me through no matter what. And when my actions get confusing to me about what do I do, it's just like a mouse in a maze who bumps up against a wall. All I have to do is come back and change what I am doing, and I will get right back in sync with those powers that guide me. Thanks so much for listening. Everyone have a wonderful day. And with that, I pass.
Thanks for sharing. Next up, we have Carolyn H., and then we'll take names for the second round. Carolyn? Carolyn H., are you still on? All right, perhaps we'll come back to her later. All right, let's go ahead and take names for sharing. Who would?
Hello?
Hello.
Roby L.
Hold on just a minute. Hold on, everybody, hold on. Was that Carolyn trying to come on?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead and share, Carolyn.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for your service. This is Carolyn H. from Atlanta. I'm so thankful for Vision for You. That paragraph makes me know that I have to be willing and that there is hope. I have a higher power, and the only way that I'm going to survive is with my higher power. It confirms, the paragraph confirmed for me that my survivor and recovery relies on my higher power. And as long as I'm willing, there is hope. The big book tells us for us, we have to have the spiritual awakening. It has been proven time and time and over again that without the spiritual awakening, without a higher power, it's going to be impossible. I know that for me, this is the only way. And I am grateful to know that there is help available for me. Time and time again, with relapse and not surrendering or, being in touch with my higher power is difficult. You know, the food is so cunning and baffling, but as long as I, you know, keep turning everything over to my higher power and just, you know, asking for that help or seeking the help, that I will be okay. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Carolyn. All right. Now we can go ahead and take names for the second group.
Polly, Ruby L.
B.
Ruby L. I didn't get any. Ruby L, I got. Okay, who else?
Diane from Michigan.
H-B. Leslie K.
I got Diane, and then there was somebody, and then there was Leslie. Who was that somebody?
Polly H-B.
Polly H-D. Okay. So I have Ruby,
Ginger
Diane.
C.
All right, I have Ruby, Diane, Polly, Leslie, and Ginger. Who else?
Maureen D.
Is that Maureen?
Maureen with an L.
Maureen, all right. Great. Let's get one more, and then we'll get to Sharon.
Linda R.
Linda R, okay. All right, we'll go. We have a Ruby L, Diane, and then Polly to start us off. Ruby, will you take us away?
Okay, it's Roby with a long O. Roby L in Vermont, recovering compulsive overeater. Thanks, Craig. So I don't share often, and this is me just trying to feel kind of the spirit of contributing. I listen a lot, and I listen to so much recovery and such wisdom and fluency. And that's not really my thing. Like fluency or giving a coherent message. I've been waiting, thinking, okay, someday I'll sound like these people on the line. But what program is teaching me is like, you know, someday I'll just be okay with me. Someday this spiritual process, and it's not really someday anymore, it's every day that I work the program, I get closer to just being okay with me. And that's one of the miracles, on top of the miracle of being relieved from the obsession over food. So this topic of willingness for a spiritual recovery, you know, like every day I have the choice. Do I want to follow a spiritual path? You know, and it's so easy not to. It's so easy to fall into, you know, this trance of life as it always was. This life of unloading the dishwasher, cooking, cleaning, going to work in a state of like a constant conversation that's based on my self-will, and learning to, you know, unload the dishwasher, go to work, and actually ask for help from God, and to start to trust that there's this goodness in me that's really there when I relieve myself of these character defects. So what I think the main point I want to share is, you know, as I think of, if there's any newcomers out there that like me hear these voices of recovery and think, man, I'm so far from that. I guess my point is just that there's two things that remind me. There's two things that can really powerfully remind me that I need a spiritual path. And one is a relapse. That's, you know, I wake up from a relapse or a slip up, and I'm convinced, gosh, I can't do it myself. But the other way I can be reminded, and I far prefer learning that this is a way better option, is when I help others. Every time I help others, it's this feeling of, gee, that's not what I could have come up with. And it's this reminder that this is a much better way. And so I think I'm starting to get it. You know, I'm in steps 4 and 5 now. And as step 12 looms in the distance, it's been something that intimidates me. Like, how could I possibly help others? I'm one of those that always thinks I'm too busy. But
I don't want to have to learn from relapses. And I really, the powerful example that other people, the insight that I get when I open myself up to others is amazing. And I'm sensing that I'm probably running out of time. Yeah. So thanks a lot for letting me share.
Okay. Thank you, Roby. Now, next up we have Diane, and she'll be followed by Polly and then Leslie. Diane?
Hi, this is Diane from Michigan. Thank you for your service this morning. I've had a lot happen in the last couple of weeks, and I've really learned a lot about surrender. And we're in the middle of moving right now. We bought a new house, and my husband was diagnosed with colon cancer a few weeks ago. So I'm in my knee-jerk reaction to life. I've become the manager and the fixer and running around like a chicken with my head cut off trying to make everything happen that needs to happen around all this. And a few days ago, I was on my morning walk and I was praying and I surrendered. I really surrendered. And I just said, God, I cannot do any of this by myself. I am powerless. And I just, it's yours. I can't manage any of this. And within the next literally 24 hours, all the things that I was struggling with that I gave over and surrendered to him in that moment resolved themselves. And one of the most beautiful things that has happened as a result of working these steps and sponsoring people, consistently working the steps, staying in the program, listening to meetings, all the things that I do for my spiritual recovery has been a beautiful healing in my relationship with my husband. So I was really ticked off when I found out that he had cancer. And but what's been great has been my attitude toward him, which would have never been like this in the past. So yesterday, and I have surrendered this situation with him over as well. Yesterday, we get a call from the Cleveland Clinic where he's been going for treatment to tell us that he does not have cancer, that his biopsy, they did a second biopsy, and it was totally clear. He doesn't need any further treatment. He does not have cancer. And I don't, this is, somebody's shuffling paper. It's really noisy. I've just completely in awe. To me, this is a miracle. I've had a few people say, well, somebody obviously made a mistake on the first biopsy. Well, that may be, I don't care. All I know is in my life today, this is a miracle. And being open to that and being willing to look for miracles in my life, that's only come about as a result of working these steps and being open-minded to these spiritual principles. And anyways, with that, I'll pass, and I thank you again for the service.
Okay. Thank you very much. I'm not sure I lost my place here. Who was that just shared? Was that Polly? Or is Polly up now? Or was that Diane? Somebody help me.
Hi, this is Polly.
Okay, Polly. Yeah, okay. Polly's up next, and then we'll have Leslie and then Ginger. Go ahead.
Okay, Polly HB from New Jersey. That's H and B as in boy. What really jumped out at me, and I loved the earlier shares, willing and able to recover on a spiritual basis. I didn't know what that meant. When I came into these rooms, I thought, you know, I know who my God is. I'm good. And I kept that old idea for years. And as somebody else shared, unfortunately, the meetings that I went to for years were, they read the steps, but all they talked about were the tools. And so I only knew what I knew. But I knew on page 85, though it really didn't hit me until after I until I began to have a spiritual awakening on page 85, what it says, what we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. And that finally really, really hit me when I had my big book sponsor said to me, I want you to read pages 84 to 88 every day. And I thought, okay, I need to know what this means because I don't know what it really means in the program when it says spiritual. And if it says I need to do maintenance on my spiritual condition, well, then I need to know what my spiritual, what spiritual is, so that, and I need to know what the maintenance is. So, and that's, and I began to study the book, and that made all the difference. And I learned what the maintenance of my spiritual condition is. I think somebody else mentioned on page 77 at the top, our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people about us. And step 12, the part that I'd forgotten about, practicing these principles in all my affairs. Well, okay, so then what really are the principles? And so I began kind of on this quest to understand about the spiritual part of the program. And also I love the clear cut directions. Okay, you know, it talks about on page 86, you know, and when we retire at night, this is something that I can do. Okay, so this is maintenance. And I think of maintenance as preventative maintenance also. Preventative and also, okay, you know, like with a car. You know, I bring my car in for oil changes and to have other things looked at before things break. Or, again, if, you know, if I, you know, what could I have done better? Well, that I at night. Okay, I'll wrap that up. Anyway, all the directions are in here in the book, and I'm so grateful for them. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you.
Somebody's unmuted, and there's a lot
the
in the life.
Yeah, the paper is totally distracting and rude.
Okay.
It's very noisy in here.
All right. Okay, next up we have Leslie Kay, and she'll be followed by Ginger and then Lorraine. Leslie? Leslie Kay.
Please ask everybody to mute.
Yeah, we got that. Leslie, if you're not there, let's go ahead and skip over to Ginger. Ginger, are you ready? Can you go?
Hi, Craig. Can you hear me?
I can.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, thank you so much, and thanks for your service this morning. And happy Friday to everybody. I am Ginger C., recovered compulsive overeater, and this beautiful paragraph on 162 is just reminding me about what we're celebrating, that we just celebrated, because in June of 1935, it was that amazing moment when Bill brought the message to Bob. So 85 years ago today, you know, this whole event happened. And it's amazing, you know, these men are going back to this place after they've gotten recovered, this altruistic, unselfish movement. One alcoholic sharing with another, that's how simple this program is. The hard part is that I have a spiritual daily reprieve. So where is God in my life? How am I connected today so I can do this work. And but boy, I just think, you think 85 years later, we're still going, we're still strong. You look at Vision for You and all that today are on this line with this gift, no longer seeing food as any type of a solution to life and life's problems, no matter what our circumstances are. Like, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for this most amazing gift. And I just pray I never give it away. You know, I'm the one that gives it away. So we just get to wash, rinse, repeat. Here we go again. We get to have a wonderful weekend. We get to have others' happiness uppermost on my thought. And then again, how can I help meet their needs? It's not about my life. That's that third step. We turned it all over to God. We gave it over, you know, and the gift is I get to pack into the stream of life today if I so choose. You know, it's my choice each and every day to make God everything or nothing. And I've taken plenty from this world. It is time to give back. So there are fast friendships. Oh, my gosh, you go to that Vision convention out in Newark, New Jersey. Talk about filling your cup and then spilling over and out into this world. And there's a good bit of travel, but it's worth it because to see these friends, oh, my gosh, we just talk to each other on the phone a lot. And then to be live with each other, getting these hugs, hopefully we'll be able to get back to there with COVID going on right now. But yeah, just so grateful to be a part of this. So grateful that, again, God's doing this for me because I don't do it. And this weekend, you know, in AA, there's a huge Founders Day celebration. Lots of great speakers, lots of great messages. And if you'd like that information in that flyer, please give me a call. I'd be happy to share it. And with that, I pass.
Okay. Thank you, Ginger. Did Leslie Kay come back on the line?
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
You can. It's Leslie Kay. Sorry, I did try to get in there a minute ago, but wasn't able to. And I just wanted to say really that recovery is based on our spiritual, contingent on our spiritual condition. And for me, what I've learned in OA, a way of keeping spiritually fit is sharing my step 10s and having a good look at myself and the motives that drive me into the resentments I'm feeling, because it says in the book, you know, often it was something that we did in the first place that is responsible for causing the condition that's leaving us resentful. And more I'm able to look at my part, and more I'm beginning to be able to view myself and others with that love and tolerance that you would expect from a loving God. And it kind of, the resentments and the fears just dissipate, and it just enhances my connection with my God so much that this recovery has given me more than weight loss. This recovery has given me the serenity. I'm actually experiencing the promises and the serenity in all aspects of my life. But, you know, I'm a sick woman, and it could change. It could change in the blink of an eye if I don't keep connected to my program, to my sponsor, to my people in fellowship, and to my God through prayer and meditation and frequent spot check infantry throughout the day. So I'll leave that there. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Next up, we have Laureen, and we're getting down tight on time, so I have two left and 2 minutes, so but go ahead.
Okay, good morning, Craig. Thank you. Can I be heard?
Yes.
Okay, good. This is Laureen D. in the state of Washington, and I've been listening to the Vision meeting since January after the OA birthday party. And when I came in to the meeting, I was just in the pits of despair. And I listened for a month, and I heard such conviction in people's voices when they stated that they were recovered. I didn't know what that meant, but I knew that I wanted it. And I got a sponsor, and she suggested behaviors for me to do, which is listening to a meeting every day and making phone calls daily. And I was kind of scared to make the outreach calls every day because of my fear of rejection. But I was willing to do it, and I did it. And I was so stuck in my disease, I didn't know what help I needed. I didn't know what questions to ask. I didn't know how to ask for help, but it was very difficult for me. But when I made my phone calls in, and you wonderful fellows answered my calls and carried the message to me, was what I needed to hear. And even though I couldn't articulate a question to help myself, the answer was there in the phone call. And I'm so grateful. And I am recovering. And it seems like with my phone calls, it's like I get a piece of myself back. And my spirit is growing. And I'm so grateful for that. And I want to thank everyone. And have a good day, and with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Linda, we're out of time, so I hope you can stay and maybe share in the second hour. I want to thank everybody that participated this morning, that read and shared and contributed to the meeting. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for the meeting that's just concluding is 14,799. That's 14,799 for Friday, June 12th, 2020, 7 a.m. Eastern meeting. We're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Darlene please read 164, our book is meant to be suggestive only, through Keep You Until Then.
Well, I was thinking it was Susan H. I'm Susan H., and I was planning on reading this.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's you.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no problem. Susan H., recovered compulsive overeater in Ohio. Very grateful to be here. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.